Black kinship families, unsung and underserved. A conversation between Karen Jones, President and CEO of the National Caucus and Center on Black Aging Incorporated, NCBA, a proud partner of the Grand Families and Kinship Support Network, and the Reverend Dr. Frederick D. Haynes III, Senior Pastor of the Friendship West Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, and President of the Rainbow Push Coalition.
So welcome to the conversation, Reverend Dr. Haynes. We're so happy to have you with us today. You pastor a huge congregation, and I know that some of your members fall into the families or kinship family category. They are rearing their children's children or the children of other relatives or friends. What impressions do you have of these people who may be doing this work for a second and even a third time around, often in what we've all looked forward to, our golden years?
A few years ago, when Hillary Clinton took the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, it was politicized, but for Black people, it's our reality, you know, and that is going to be rare for you to have what? A husband, wife, and 2.5 kids and a dog. It's a whole village involved in the bringing up of the children. Mm-hmm. And so what is often misdefined as a broken family structure, you know, in our context, you know, there are reinforcements that are engaged in making sure that the kids are not only brought up, but the kids, you know, get to school, the kids have resources. And so when you talk about the traditional Americanized, even politicized view of the family, you're missing out on not only what is a strength of the Black community in terms of the village approach to, you know, bringing up our children, but you also end up with a lot of our kids being judged, misrepresented, and families that are totally misrepresented because we don't always fit into the Americanized version of what a family looks like. What's funny is their families don't either, but it's just that we admit it and we're honest about it. So yes, I have both in our community where our church is and our church, just to give you an example, is right across the street from a high school that is predominantly minority, predominantly Black through the years. And, you know, I cannot tell you how many times I've gone over there for various programs and, you know, the grandmothers are there. Mama may not be there, but grandma is. Even when, you know, my daughter was going to, when she was in high school, I won't forget the many times I'd go to what, both the parent-teacher conference meetings and PTA meetings. And I'm looking around at these people who are much older than me, and I'm not even tripping because it's like, oh yeah, they're a part of the village, you know, helping, you know, to ensure that the children are taken care of. So I want to begin with that because I think that's the appropriate understanding and framework through which to view, you know, our families. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, in terms of, you know, needs, I mean, just imagine you've already been through the process of raising, you know, a child or children, and now you're raising the children of your child. And I got to be honest with you, some of that is the product of a traumatic event that took place. And so that grandmother or great grandmother is stepping in and filling a gap that was imputed on that family by trauma. And so, you know, for me, it goes back to the need for access to mental health services for the child, even for the grandmother. But if you don't have access to mental health services, I think you're missing out on the fact that, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a grandparent involved because something traumatic has happened. Just after six, I guess around 1 o'clock today, you know, I got a call from one of our members, and her son, you know, 37 years old, passed, and the son was raising, you know, two daughters. And so the grandmother was saying, "Pastor, pray for me because, you know, I've got to raise my grandbabies." And so she not only has to get through the trauma of burying a child, and everyone says that should never happen. So she's got to do that. And she has to, you know, go through the process again of raising a child. So sometimes it's trauma, you know, that has, you know, brought this about. And I think that kind of sensitivity says, okay, we got to break down these barriers where our community does not have access to mental health services. That is, I guess, the first place I'll begin. The second place I'll begin. And really what I'm doing is just really amazing. You know, you shared with me what you want to talk about. And then it's like, everybody came to me with, okay, I'm an example. And I did not ask for these examples. And so it just lets you know how real this is, because it was something that is so commonplace that I can't say I've grown numb to it, but at the same time, it's just commonplace because a village is indeed raising our children. It's not ever just mama, daddy. It's always a village. And so the first piece I'll say again has to do with the whole trauma piece. The second piece is the fact that, I mean, let's be real. This country targeted through its criminal justice system, you know, Black men, snatched them, you know, from their families. And now the stats are showing it's Black women, you know, who are being victimized by this criminal justice system. So if you don't have to deal with the trauma, you have grandparents who are stepping up now because of a system. And this past Sunday after church, you know, this grandmother, you know, came up to me, and she had, you know, her teenage grandchildren that she's raising now. And it's because, you know, both her son and her daughter-in-law are in prison. And so I, you know, I was asking, okay, so, you know, what's the time frame? What are they in for? And it's petty drug possession. And because this is Texas, and in Texas, you know, you can still get arrested for marijuana possession. And so they didn't just get arrested. They are in prison, you know, serving time. And so when you look at systems, you know, some systems have created the necessity for the village stepping up. And so I'll just also add that not only is there a need for mental health services, but for resources for this grandmother who all of a sudden is, and this is what she said to me, Sonny, just melted my heart. She said, "Pastor, I'm putting money on the books for my son and my daughter-in-law. I've gone back to get a second job. And so I'm working two jobs while I'm trying to raise, you know, my grandchildren." I mean, I'm sorry, that's so you can judge them all you want to, but you got to keep in mind a system is as guilty as ever in making this come to pass. And so, you know, I can go on and on and on because I got too many examples But I do need know there there's a need for mental health services, and there's a need for getting appropriate resources to these grandparents who are having to do it all over again.
And they need resources that do not require them to be intruded upon by or interfered with and judged unnecessarily.
If you don't have cultural competence when it comes to addressing, ministering, serving, you know, this clientele, then you can easily come across as being judgy, and worse than that, shaming, you know, something that really should not be shamed.
Those are some of the things that make African Americans tend to shy away from getting some of these services, which is a shame because that works against our own interests. But that's because the biggest fear is losing the children.
I think that is such an important point. Our experiences with the system, it's rare to hear an experience that was healthy, helpful, and healing. It's very rare. And if all I've heard and all I've experienced is bad, then of course I'm going to do all I can to protect what's mine. This is mine, so I'm going to do it. Even if I don't have the resources, I'm going to make do, which is what we've learned to do as a people, and that is to make do. So another piece, and thank you for saying this, another piece is not only is the system, quote unquote, going to have to market some positive successes that they can point to and that can get on the grapevine in the community, but ensure that in the process that what? There is a kind of, again, cultural competence. I'm gonna go back to that again, because if Miss Karen shows up in her judgmental ways, making her judgmental assumptions, then the sad reality is that that is going to cause, oh man, and I just thought of something. And it happened last year, but one of our members got into a serious situation fighting the system, the foster care system, because, and I'm trying to make sure I get the details right. The dad had some, he'd been in Iraq, yeah. And when he came back, he was just mentally in a bad space. And he was married to the stepmother of his child. And he's married to the stepmother of the child. And the stepmother had her own issues with the child, and her own issues with the fact that he had gone to Iraq and had come back, you know, struggling. And as a consequence, you know, the grandmother, the mother of the son who had been in Iraq, she tries to get involved. And what happens is that they called CPS on her. And it just went from bad to worse. And so, unfortunately, you know, they were able to get the child away from the grandmother. And when the child went back to the stepmother's place, the stepmother was very abusive. And now the child is in foster care system, and the grandmother has no idea where that child is. And we've been fighting, trying to help, but it's like, you know, that is not good. You know, that child, I don't know if that child will ever be what the child should be. And this kid was in our mentoring program. We were doing a decent job of providing a village context, but I mean, the system, as far as I'm concerned, has messed up a situation that could have been better, especially if the grandmother was allowed to do what she was doing effectively.
Grand Families and Kinship Support Network is working hard to provide resources that will help those who help these families better understand the options that are available to them. We're hoping churches can create new ministries just for those caregivers and their families, just as they have senior ministries and Bible study ministries and other ministries within their churches that help their congregations and the communities that are surrounding. It would be great to see our churches create these new ministries just for these caregivers and their families.
I really appreciate that, you know, you were doing this because
that's great.
Your insight and observations, as always, are very helpful in making us understand what so many of these caregivers are going through. And congratulations on taking the helm of Rainbow Push. Reverend Jesse Jackson certainly passed the baton on to a very strong runner and advocate. We wish you all the best in the good work that you do. Thanks so much for your time.
Right. Same to you. Thank you.
Additional resources are available at the Grand Families and Kinship Support Network website. That's gksnetwork.org. And at the website of Generations United, gu.org. The network is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of the Financial Assistance Award totaling $9,950,000, with 95% funded by ACL HHS, and $523,684 and 5% funded by non-government sources. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of, nor an endorsement by, ACL, HHS, or the U.S. government.